Probably all know, what day is it? Pentecost. So that's what I'm going to teach on. And so at sunset in Jerusalem, which was about 6 hours ago, was the beginning of the Feast of Pentecost, as celebrated by the Jews. And we're 6 hours behind, so it's sunset now. So Jews in this country are celebrating Pentecost, or as they call it in the Hebrew, is Shavuot, which stands for sevens, or the seven of sevens. So we're going to do some study on that tonight, and I hope I'm going to be able to relate it not just to Old Testament, but to bring it down to where you and I are tonight. Amen. Leviticus 23:15 says, "And he shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that he brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete." Amen. And this is the only feast of the 7 feasts where they weren't given a specific date. They weren't told it was on the 14th or the 15th or the 16th or the 1st or the 10th. They were told to count. And so whenever you see something that's a little bit different from the normal, there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it, to count. You know, one of the things that we should do is count our blessings. There's a song that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." You know, sometimes I forget all the miracles God has done to let this church be here. And it's usually when we have a guest speaker and I take them out to eat. And they start asking me, you know, well, how did the church get here? And I start telling them, and the Lord starts to bring back the many, many miracles that he has done over the 7 years just to keep the doors open and to just bless us financially. And every time I start to do that, I start to choke up, and I just think, wow, you know, I need to remember that. And God told them in this feast that they were to count every day. And the reason is because it's related to blessings. They were to count every day that they brought in the harvest. And they were to count 7 Sabbaths, so a total of 49 days. God did not tell them a fixed day. Today, of course, the Jews celebrated on a fixed day after the calendar became fixed. But in the Bible times, before the calendar got fixed, the way they determined the beginning of the month was by, anyone remember? The moon, the new moon. The new moon. That's how they do it. They did it. They determined the first day of the month by 2 witnesses going out and both saying that they saw the first sliver of the new moon. And so that would be the first of the month. And so then they would determine the first day of the month. But for this feast, they were told to count, which means that the way worldwide it's being done now obviously isn't right. It's now fixed according to Judaism, or modern Judaism, or what they call rabbinical Judaism. It's fixed always on the 6th day of the Jewish month, Sivan, which is the 3rd month of the Jewish year. What's the 1st month of the Jewish year called? Come on now. Nisan. Very good. So the 2nd month is called Iyar, and the 3rd month is called Sivan. And I know I taught this about 3 years ago, and there's something beautiful how God just sets this all up. Amen. Sets this all up. Before I get to it, anyone, if you know what the name of the meaning of the month is, let me see your hand. Does anyone know what Sivan means? All right. We'll get to it. But it was about 3 years ago I taught somebody and gave them what the meaning of it is. So Shavuot means, in the Hebrew, the seven of sevens. And it was instituted under the law as they were leaving Egypt. "And he shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that he brought the sheaf of the wave offering." Sounds mysterious. 7 Sabbaths shall he be complete. Now, the proper way, even in Jesus' time, there was a dispute, because anything that has to be calculated, you're going to have different opinions. And so there were 2 groups who tried to calculate when that should be at different times. Of course, there was the Pharisees and there was the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were the ones actually in charge of the temple. And so they calculated the feast differently from the Pharisees, because it all hinges upon this verse here. It says, from the morrow after the Sabbath. Does anyone know what it was talking about? The day after the Sabbath. It sounds pretty straightforward. When is the Sabbath usually? Saturday, right? And so today, that's how we calculate it, right? That's why usually Easter and so on, it always ends up on a Sunday, because if you count it from the day after the Sabbath is a what? And if you count 7 weeks, then it always seems to end up on a Sunday, the normal way. The Jews, of course, do it a little bit differently. But the Sadducees, that's how they calculated. They took that word when it said Sabbath to mean the Saturday Sabbath. But that's really not what it was talking about. What was it talking about? What was the count? When did the count really begin? Okay, what's the first Jewish feast? Passover. Passover was also a Sabbath, because you did everything that you do on the Sabbath on Passover. So when you have Passover, when you have the Jewish feast, you can have two Sabbaths in the week. And that's where the confusion came from, because it's really speaking about 50 days after the Passover, not the Saturday. Not the Saturday. And so that's why there became a difference or a discrepancy. And Pentecost, of course, is such a unique feast. And I'm going to show you this now. See how many of you can remember all of this. Okay. So the Jews had their months in the Old Testament. The original count of days started on what day? What's the first day of the week?
Sunday.
So that being said, we can pretty much assume and believe that the first day of creation was a Sunday. The Jews did not name their days. It wasn't a Monday. They had numbers for their days. So it was the first day of the week, second day of the week. So the first day of the week was a Sunday. It was a Sunday. And of course, it begins from what time to what time? Sunset to sunrise, okay? But when we look at the feast, so originally in the Old Testament, up until the book of Exodus, the first month was the month of Tishri. Or in the Old Testament, it was Abib, because the name was changed. I'm going to try and slow down. Okay. So the first Jewish month was called Abib. And anyone remember why it was called Abib? The month of Passover originally was called Abib. What does Abib mean? No, it doesn't mean a phone call. So let me turn this off. Okay. Passover was what kind of a festival? What was it associated with? All right, name. Let's start from the beginning. Name the festivals. Let's start from the beginning. That will be your clue. Passover. Then what's the next one? Unleavened bread. And then the next one? First fruits. And they were almost one after the other. Passover was on what day? No, I'm talking the number, the date. The 14th of Nisan. 14th. And so unleavened bread was on the 15th. And first fruits was, Jesus arose how many days later? All right. So they were very, very close to each other. So what really were they celebrating the first fruits of? What harvest? What was the first harvest of the Jewish year? Barley. Everybody remember now? Barley. Okay. All right. So it was the barley harvest. And I've told you that anytime in the Old Testament now you see anything that says it was the time of the barley harvest, then you know that it was around what feast? Passover. Does that make sense? Am I not making sense? All right. Everybody wake up. Now, I know this is complicated, but I have a reason for telling you all of this. I have a reason for telling you all of this. So we see that the first feast, Passover, was really to do with the barley harvest. And so after they came out of Egypt, God changed the year. They changed their calendar. So instead of it being Abib, or later on Tishri, being the first month of the year, God changed it to 6 months later, or Nisan. So Nisan became the religious year, the first month of the religious year. Then the next month going on, I told you before, was called Iyar. And then the month after that was called Sivan. And then comes Tammuz and Av, my birthday, August, Elul, and Tishri. So that's the month that used to be the first month of the year. And it was changed. God took 6 months and changed it to Nisan, because that was the day that they left Egypt. He redid their calendar. And then after Tishri comes Marchesvan and Kislev, which is around December, Tivet and Shivat and Adar. You're not going to be tested in all of those. The only ones you really need to remember are the three festivals months, which is Tishri, Nisan, and Sivan. So if you remember those, that's all you have to remember. I'm going to know all the 12 months. Now I'm going to show you where they fall on our calendar. So Nisan usually falls sometime in April or March, Easter, Passover, right? Then Iyar is April, May, and then Sivan is May, June, which is where we are right now, right? Right on the border of May and June. And then Tammuz is June, July. Av is July, August. And Elul is August, September. Tishri is September, October. Marchesvan is October, November. And Kislev is November, December. Tevet is December, January. Now, the reason why it changes is because their calendar is based on what? The phases of the moon. And so the moon's orbit is now less than it used to be, and so it tends to change. So to keep adjusting the calendar, they have a 19-year cycle. So every now and then, every third year, they have to add an extra month. So they have Adar 1 and Adar 2. So to keep the calendar now synchronized. But obviously it wasn't like that way in the beginning. If we go to the book of Genesis, the Bible lays out that the month used to be exactly how many days? 30 days. We can tell that from the description of the flood, because it says 5 months, and then it gives us how many days 5 months was. So we can tell that something happened that changed the orbit of the moon, or change the relationship, but that's not what I'm teaching on tonight. So I'm just giving you a background so you can see where the months fall. Now, so that we can see that, we know that God in Exodus, I think 15, when they were leaving Egypt, said, "This month shall be the beginning of months to you." And that was Nisan. And so on that night at sunset, they were to kill the lamb. They were to kill the lamb, and they were to consume it. They were to be dressed. They had to have their bags packed. Do you understand that? They had to be ready to go. Now, Pharaoh hadn't yet said yes. In fact, the 10 plagues were practices. God told him, "You got to let my people go." And at one point, he said yes, but before Moses had left, he changed his mind. Finally, when it came that night, when it came to the firstborn, Moses told them, "This time, you're going to have to get ready. Better have your bags packed. Get your clothes on. Don't wait to go packing your bags." Why I'm laughing is that my wife said to me, "You haven't packed." This was Friday or Saturday. I said, "Oh, I can just throw something together. It's only for a day. We're only going to go, you know." But that's not what God wants. He wants us to be ready. They were told they had to have everything ready to go. They were to eat almost standing up, really. Because that very night, they were going to start leaving Egypt. So, in Nisan on the 14th, the Bible says that the death angel came over Egypt. And everyone who was not in the house with the blood, the firstborn was destroyed. And it became the Passover, because if you were in the house with the blood, the angel passed over. See, that's what we have to have tonight, is the blood applied. And so the first feast was Passover. And then the next one, that next day on the 15th, was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That means they had to to take bread that they didn't have time to really symbolically, do all the steps that you have to make it taste good. They had to leave with unleavened bread. And then later on, not that night, but later on, was instituted the Feast of First Fruits. So do you notice that all of those three feasts happen in the same month of Nisan, right? So they all happen in that month of Nisan. Then you have to go 2 months to the next feast, which is Pentecost, right? Pentecost. So Pentecost happens in May, June. And so that's a bit unusual if you look at it, because we'll see that the other feasts, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the last one, Feast of Tabernacles, again, that happens all in the same month. So do you see something about Pentecost that's different? It's all by itself. It's unique. It's unique. It's unique. All the other feasts either happen in Tishri or Nisan, but Pentecost happens by itself. And we're not surprised by that. So of the seven feasts, three of them were harvest festivals. And I told you the first one, right? Passover was the harvest of the barley. The barley. In Exodus 23:14, God told Moses, 3 times a year thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread, which is celebrated really simultaneously with Passover. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. So that's what it was called back then, was Abib. But once they were captured and taken into Babylon, they adopted the Persian name. So Abib became Tishri. But Abib means the ear of barley, because that was what they were reaping at that time. And then the Bible says, for in it thou camest out from Egypt. And here's something interesting. It says, and none shall appear before me empty. Sorry, I should have changed the colors of that. And it goes on to say, and the month of harvest, the first fruits of thy labor which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is the end of the year. So there were, of the seven feasts, three of them were harvest festivals. That means they were harvesting a product. And God commanded that any devout Jew, anyone who was a keeper of the law, if at all possible, they needed to come to the temple or the tabernacle, and they had to come with an offering. And that's very, very important. So the first fruits of the barley was presented at the Feast of First Fruits. And then at the Feast of Pentecost was presented the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And then the very last ingathering was the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, I've taught a lot on this, was presented the oil and the wine. And I've shown the symbolism about this and the rapture. But we're talking tonight about the middle feast, the middle harvest, which is Pentecost. Now, it turns out that it was 50 days exactly after they left Egypt that the law was given. Leviticus 23:16, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall he number 50 days, and he shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now it's interesting that when Jesus ascended, he told his disciples what they should do, right? Go tarry, go wait at Jerusalem. And he didn't tell them the date. In other words, when you're waiting, what are you doing? You're counting the days. Do you see that? You are counting the days. If you don't know when, you're saying, well, it's been 10 days. You know, they probably had a calendar. Like he said, go wait at Jerusalem. And it appears that none of them got the significance that it matched the Feast of Pentecost. None of them got the significance that it matched the Feast of Pentecost. But when the day of Pentecost, now the Bible uses some very special terminology, and I want to see if anyone can catch what it's meaning. It says, and when in Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what do you think that means? True, but it's even more precise than that. When did the day of Pentecost start? From the night before, right? So when it says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what is telling us? It was in the morning when it was the whole day. Because remember now, they accused them of being drunk. And what did Peter says? It's only the third hour of the day, which tells us that the Holy Spirit was given sometime, we don't know precisely, but it wasn't at the sunset. It was when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. And we know that it had come by 9 o'clock. We know it had come by 9 o'clock because they said, these are drunk, because they were manifesting, they were rejoicing, they were carrying on. People said, these are drunk. And Peter says, no. This is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet, that upon my handmaidens and my young men, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Amen. So we can tell some very precise language. When it says fully come, it's speaking that it wasn't from the sunset. It was sometime early morning that the Holy Spirit was poured out. Leviticus 23:7. There was an offering that had to be brought on Pentecost. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves. That means it was the wheat that had been milled and crushed and baked. Of 2/10 deals, they shall be of fine flour, they shall be bacon with leaven. That's what makes this feast so unusual, because this time the Bible said you bake it with leaven, which represents what? What does leaven represent? See, what God was saying, this is different. It's really not so much for the Jews, but this is whosoever will. Come as you are. You come as you are because Calvary is going to wash your sins away. That blood is going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what Pentecost means. That's why it was different from the others. Bring the flour, this time baked with leaven. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Amen. So now you can see that Pentecost kind of stands by itself in the middle. You have Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits all in the month of Nisan. Then 2 months later you have Pentecost, and then 4 months later in the month of Tishri, you have trumpets, atonements, and tabernacles. But Pentecost kind of stands by itself. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, or the feast of the sevens, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. The Bible is so amazing, because I've given you 2 keys. Anytime you see in the Old Testament is speaking about the barley harvest, then now we know what month it is, don't we? What month is it? Nisan. And if they're speaking about the wheat harvest, we know what month it is, right? Sivan. And it means that it's at the Feast of Pentecost. If it's speaking about the barley harvest, it's meaning it's Passover. And so even without knowing the Bible specifically telling us, we can start to see some wonderful things. Now, I went to the trouble some years ago of showing how detailed God's plan is. And when we post this to the website, you can go through it. But it shows exactly how God matched what he did in the Old Testament in the New Testament, because it was 50 days till the law was given. The Bible says that they came up to Mount Sinai. Then what did they have to do? They weren't ready. They had to wait 3 days. He said, prepare 3 days, and then after 3 days, when you add it up, when you add up the months, it comes exactly to 50 days. So the law was given. The thing that saved them in the Old Testament was given on Pentecost. The thing that saves us, the Holy Spirit, was given on Pentecost. See, God is the one in charge of his own Bible and his plans. And so he worked it out so everything matched. Even unto the morrow of the seventh Sabbath shall he number 50 days. Now, the first fruits, when it applies to Jesus, applies to the first fruits of what? What was the symbol? In the Old Testament, they went through all these ceremonies, not really understanding what they symbolized. But let's go and see. Leviticus 23:9, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel to say to them, when you come into the land, which I give you to reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Let Paul explain it. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. See, Jesus, when he resurrected on the feast of what? First fruits. And he was the first fruits of them that sleep. And so that Bible says that now we are not going to die, because the first fruits has already been harvested in essence, in symbology. Let's go on. Leviticus 23:17. From wherever you live, bring two loaves of bread to be lifted up before the Lord as an offering. These loaves must be baked from 3/4 of choice flour that contains yeast. They will be an offering to the Lord. Now look at this. Two loaves. The high priest declared about Jesus that it is better that what? At that point, he became what? The sin offering. The two loaves represent the divine and the human nature. Baked. The sin offering was the flour baked with the oil and offered on the fire. The oil, the spirit, the flour, the flesh. You see, God set the symbolism up and it was given as an offering. These loaves must be baked from 3/4 of choice flour that contains yeast. See, Jesus became our sin offering and was offered up on the feast of Passover for us and arose on the feast of first fruits. They will be an offering to the Lord from the first of your crops. And so we see that God set these three harvest festivals up, that every time you if you were a devout Jew, you had to come to Jerusalem and you had to bring an offering. Now, we can look at the New Testament and we can see that Jesus observed some of the feasts, or at least it's recorded when he went to Jerusalem that he actually went to four Passovers, and the fourth one, of course, was his crucifixion. So what I want to show you, and I'm trying to say this in a way that will that it will register. Romans 12:1, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies. See, we come to Jesus as we are. He's not expecting us to be perfect, but once we are given to him, then we got to let him do his work. Amen. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. Now, we can tell something about special about Pentecost, that it was also a feast of mercy, because the children of Israel came up to the mountain and it started to thunder and lightning, and they said, okay, Moses, you talk to God for us. You be the intercessor. You be the mediator. And so Moses went up the mountain. 1 Chronicles 21:15 says this, and God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And this was because of David's numbering of the firstborn. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, or changed his mind, and said to the angel that destroyed it, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now I've taught this at least 3-4 times, so you all should know where this place is. In Jerusalem, which was where David's throne was, he had disobeyed God one of the few times he got in the flesh. In fact, it says that Satan rose up against Israel and tempted David to go and number Israel. Now, it wasn't the numbering that was the sin, but remember now, when they came out of Egypt, God told them, the firstborn belongs to me. I saved every one of your firstborn. So the firstborn of every animal had to be sacrificed or redeemed. The firstborn child had to be redeemed with a silver coin. And any time you numbered Israel, you had to pay the offering. So David numbered Israel, but for some reason he didn't go through with what was required. And so judgment fell. And Nathan the prophet came to him and said, you have sinned. because you've broken the commandment. The firstborn, when you number them, you're supposed to give an offering. And because of that, judgment fell on Jerusalem. And this was the result of it, that the angel came and people started to die because the firstborn belonged to God. But David repented and God stayed the hand of the angel. And it's no coincidence where this happened. First of all, it tells us so much. It says it was on the threshing floor. Now, where did they build threshing floors? What was the process of threshing grain? What they would need would be wind, because what they would do is take a winnowing fork and throw the sheaves up in the air, and the chaff, because it was lighter, would blow away and the grains would fall. So they would thresh the grain and they would just keep throwing it up. So they needed a place that was high, or at least exposed. So it was a high place. A high place. So this place where the angel suddenly stopped and had mercy was on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So first of all, we know where it is, but we also know what date it was, because we can tell from what they were harvesting. It was the wheat. It was the season of Pentecost, that God had mercy upon Jerusalem. Not only that, if we read on, and David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now here's the clue, so you can tell that this was Pentecost. Now Ornan was doing what? What does it say? Threshing wheat. Do you understand that God set this up deliberately and let us know that this was the feast of Pentecost, when mercy was shown, when deliverance came to Jerusalem? But not only that. Not only that, he told him to build an altar. And so this place where they built an altar in Jerusalem was on a high place. It was the threshing floor of Ornan, which later became what? The site of what? The temple. The threshing floor of Ornan was where God had Solomon to build the temple. And the plague was stopped at the time of the Feast of Pentecost because it was the wheat harvest. Remember, the barley is Passover. I know some of you are getting cold in here. It says 67, so I'll turn it up a little bit. So the barley harvest was at Passover, right? And the wheat harvest was what? Pentecost. So we can see what God was doing. He was showing that at this time mercy was given, deliverance came. Just as when Jesus became the sacrifice at the time of the barley harvest, but the Holy Spirit was given 50 days later, which is what saves us now. Now just look at this. Exodus 19:1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt. So let's count. What was the first month? Nisan, second month, Iyar, third month, Sivan. So God tells us when the law was given. Remember, Pentecost is in the month of Sivan. So the third month, the very same day, so that means it was at the beginning of the month. See, the Bible is very precise. Now, the Jewish months are fixed, so we can know that they came up to Mount Sinai on day 46, because they left on the 15th in the middle of the month, and you add the 30 days of the next month, Iyar, which always has, so 45, and they camped there for 3 days. They had to prepare. So Moses went up on the 49th day, and then the law was given on the 50th. For they were departed from Rephidim, and they were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. There Israel camped before the mount. So the month of Nisan always has 30 days. The month of Iyar always has 29 days. I got it swapped. So from the 14th of Nisan to the 30th is 17 days. Add the 29 days of the full month of Iyar, and you have a total of 46 days. So they came up to the mount 46 days. Till Mount Sinai. In Exodus 19, God told them to prepare for 3 days before coming up to the mount. That adds up to 49 days. On the day of Sivan, Moses then on the fourth day of Sivan, Moses went up the mount to receive the law, and God came down on the mount with fire and noise. Where have you heard that before? And there came a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house. See, the Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, unmerited favor, came through what? Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Do you understand that only Moses went up the mountain to receive the law? One man went up the mountain. But on the day of Pentecost, it was whosoever was in that room. Because Jesus told them, go and tarry. Go wait. Go count. Do you understand that we're in a countdown now? Are you counting the days? We don't know exactly when Jesus is coming, but he's told us, I'm coming. I don't know if you got a count going, but I got a count going. I'm not going to tell you my thoughts on it, but anyway. On the fourth day of Sivan, Moses went up the mount to receive the law. And God came down on the mount with fire and noise, just like on the day of Pentecost. But instead of one man coming down with his face aglow and fire, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said, there came a mighty rushing wind, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. You see, when Jesus does it, it's more multiplied than just when it was just one man. Only one man could go up the mountain to get the law. But on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that he has called all of us to go and make disciples. This is for your children and them that are what? Afar off. Amen. So we see that Pentecost was the thing that gave the law to the Jews, but Pentecost is the thing that frees us from the law and is fulfilled in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sorry I put that in the wrong color, so you probably can't see it. Now, and I've told this story. Guess what the Jews do? Well, let me start from the beginning. They have a 7-year reading cycle that is matched up with the sabbatical year. The Jews, Orthodox Jews, they read through the law and they have daily readings, or they have readings in the synagogue. And they divide the 7 years into two, what they call half Torah. The Torah is the 5 books of Moses, right? And so they read certain portions of the law at certain times of the year. Would you know which book they're reading tonight? Which they don't even understand why they're reading it. It's the book of Ruth. Because, let's read it. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. See, there were two brothers who were married that died. But one sister decided she was going to stay in the land of Moab. But Ruth did not. She was a Gentile. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She made a covenant. She made a commitment. And so she returned back to the land of Israel. And the Bible is so beautiful because it tells us when. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, which is, what does Bethlehem mean? House of bread. In the beginning of the barley harvest. So what feast did she come back to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem at? Passover. Look at this. A Gentile woman is coming to Israel at Passover. At Passover, the beginning of the barley harvest. That means the first fruits of the barley harvest. First fruits of the barley harvest was what? Resurrection of Christ. The gospel was then open to all. because they had rejected him. Do you know a Moabite person, according to the law, could not be in the congregation of Israel down to the 10th generation? But we see God, even in the Old Testament, prefiguring his plan of grace, because this woman was a Moabite. Under the law, she had no part in the congregation of Israel. But you know what? She came back at the season of Passover, the barley harvest, the season when some hundreds of years later, the Messiah would die and be resurrected as a first fruit. And this gospel then would be preached to whomsoever will. Amen. And she stayed. Now, let's look at the story. So she came to in the beginning of the barley harvest. The Bible tells us it was the beginning, so it means it was first fruits, Passover. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Grace. In whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. The reason was, under the law, when you reaped your land, you were not supposed to go and absolutely get every single grain you could. You were supposed to leave some for the poor and the widows and the fatherless. Under Levitical law, in Leviticus, it says, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest? Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. God had a welfare plan set up for the poor. So she went into the field after the reapers to take whatever they had left behind. Who does that remind you of? Another Gentile woman who came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. He said, I've not been sent to the house of Israel. But she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table. Here was a Gentile woman who, in essence, came at the time of Passover to eat the crumbs from the children's table. But I just want to show you the grace and mercy and goodness of God. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Boaz means strength, or in his strength. Now, to show you God's mercy and grace, he repeats things double. Just to prove himself, he repeats things double. When Joseph was given a dream about the 7 years, or Pharaoh was given a dream about the 7 good years and the 7 bad years, God gave him 2 dreams. That's when people call me and said, I had this dream. I say, well, pray for the second one. Because if it's from God, he'll give it to you again. He'll make sure you understand it. He'll make sure you understand it. Now, Boaz was whose son? Come on, Sunday school students. Where was Boaz descended from? Rahab, another Gentile bride. Do you see how God really redoubled the sign of the fact that this, his mercy and his grace was open to all? Because Boaz was descended from Rahab, who was a Canaanite, another Gentile. So she was gleaning in the field of Boaz, and his name means strength, or in his strength. We can't do nothing except it's in his strength. Paul, in the book of Romans, said, speaking about the Jews, he said, it's of them are the oracles of God. Isn't that what he said? It's of the, don't look down on the Jews because blindness in part, because from them comes the oracles of God. Naomi represents the Jews, and she was the one who had received the oracles of God. So she started to instruct Ruth how to obtain the blessing. Wash thyself, therefore. When you come as a Gentile bride to Christ, you got to be baptized. You got to get stuff cleaned up. Anoint thee. Put thy raiment upon thee. Get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Remember, she came at the barley harvest, right? So 50 days later, what harvest is it going to be? 50 days later, someone tell me, Pentecost, but what's the harvest at Pentecost? The wheat. Okay. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. That seems very strange, but you know what was happening? A covenant situation. Moses, the place you're standing is holy ground. That was the song that we sang Sunday, right? That I put on the Facebook. She was to uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. You see, today soldiers wear their rank where? On their shoulders. But in Bible days, the rank was on the hems. It was the tassels that denoted their rank. And that's why the woman wanted to touch the hem of his garment. That's why David cut off Saul's hems, because that was showing his rank, that he was the king. The rank was shown by the tassels on the hem of the garment. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. You see, in Ezekiel, it tells us, prefigures what would happen. Ezekiel 16:8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt or covering. I spread my covering over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. When I was teaching a few Tuesdays ago about the covenant and how once we come into covenant and once we submit to God, we are returning the dominion to him and we're letting him work. We're giving him the authority to use all his power. You know, it's like a little child who's struggling with something, right? Struggling with something. And you could just fix it for them in a minute, but they just won't give it to you. Many times that's what we are like to God. We won't submit our dominion to God. So this symbol that Naomi told her to do was special, because when we look at the Hebrew, it says skirt or hem, but it really means a covering. And this was also the thing that was on the high priest's garment, was a special hem or covering. And it also refers in the Bible, when it's used, this to the train of God's robe, so to speak. We see this in Psalms 91, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings. It's translated literally, but really in the Hebrew, it's speaking about a covering. Shalt thou trust his truth shall be thy shield. The Bible says when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into what? All truth. But unto them that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, in his covering. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So she was told by Naomi what to do. So she went and did this. And she stayed gleaning in the field 50 days. 50 days until the first fruits of the wheat harvest. Pentecost. Pentecost, guess what happens at Pentecost? What happens to Ruth and Boaz? They get married. They get married. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest. So if it's the end of the barley harvest, what's happening now? After the barley comes what? The wheat. And of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So at the end of the barley harvest, Boaz takes a Gentile bride. Do you see the symbol that God was setting up? At the day of Pentecost, it said they heard them speak in their own tongues, Greeks, Elamites, Persians, Egyptians. And this gospel is unto you and to your children and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus told them, first start in Jerusalem, then to Samaria, then into Judea, then to where? The uttermost parts of the earth. See, what happens at Pentecost is Boaz takes a Gentile bride. You know, that's me and you. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, and for thou art a near kinsman. You know what she's doing? She is submitting to his authority. She's saying, I need your protection, Boaz. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Does anyone remember what Sivan means in Hebrew? Remember what she did? She came at Pentecost. She sat at his feet, and she asked him to cover her. Sivan means covering. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means it was the morning, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. There was a covering coming in Sivan. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, anyone know what time it is in Israel? So the day of Pentecost in Israel has not yet fully come. It's not yet fully come. So rapture can still happen. I don't know. I'm not saying that. I'm just making a point. Wouldn't that be something? So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's when there came a sound. The Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There's going to be a noise, but not everyone is going to hear it. Only the dead in Christ and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, them in the clouds. Amen. So we see that Pentecost is a very unusual feast. It's different from the other feasts because it's not in any of the other months. We see that it applies specifically to Gentiles. We see that, you can give the offering with leaven because God wants you just the way you are. You don't have to try and pretty yourself, but when you come to him, you need to come to him and let him do the work. Let him do the work. John 4:35, Jesus said something very interesting. Say not ye, now most, and even me in past, have always thought that the rapture would be on the Feast of Trumpets. But the more I've studied, the more I've decided to say, well, I don't know if that's necessarily so. And I'm going to show you why. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Here's a clue for us. How many harvests are there? Three. Right? We know there's only three harvests, right? There's the barley, the wheat, and then the oil and the wine. The barley happens at, if I keep repeating it, you'll remember it, Passover. The wheat happens at Pentecost, and the oil and the wine happens at, you got it. Amen. You got it. Okay, so there are three harvests. Jesus said, you say there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look the fields, for they are white already, ready to harvest. You understand that if you look at the Hebrew, and I couldn't put everything in here tonight, but the Feast of Pentecost is an ingathering. It is a harvest festival. Let me go back and look at this. I didn't really do this right, but okay. I'm going to highlight the three harvest festivals. So there's Nisan, there's Sivan, and there's Tishri. So now you have to go back 4 months to see which one would fit. So if we go back to Nisan and we go back 4 months, that would be Kislev. So could Jesus have been, could it have been December when Jesus was talking about Nisan? Well, it could have been, except for one thing. When he said this, it was after he was coming back from Jerusalem and he met the woman, a Samaritan woman, at the well of Sychar. He was coming back from a festival. Remember, if Jesus was a devout follower of the law, it means he would have had to be in Jerusalem 3 times a year, at either Passover, Pentecost, or Tabernacles. And it's recorded, definitely, that he was at Passover, and it's recorded that he was at Tabernacles. So Kislev is not one of the ones where he would have been in Jerusalem. It possibly could have been for Purim, but it's not one of the commanded feasts. Only those three could have been the commanded feasts where you have to. If you were a proper God-fearing Jew, you had to be, if at all possible, in Jerusalem at either Nisan, Sivan, and Tishri. So although he could have been there in December and said 4 months in Nisan, it's not very likely because it was not a commanded feast. So that leaves, he could have been in Jerusalem on Nisan, but the next feast is not 4 months away. Do you see? There's only 2 months between Nisan and Sivan. But if you pick Sivan, then you have 4 months. Do you see what I'm saying? There you go. 1, 2, 3, 4. So what I'm trying to tell you is Jesus was saying, you say that the rapture not going to happen to Feast of Trumpets. 4 months. But I'm telling you, fields are already white, ready to harvest. Now, I'm not setting any dates. I'm just telling you, we need to be ready. That's what we need to be, ready. So if you're here tonight and say, well, we got church, pastor said the rapture could come on Pentecost, and we're here. Remember now, day of Pentecost has not fully come yet in Jerusalem. It could still happen tonight. Wouldn't that be something? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you truly ready? Have you got your spiritual bags packed? Are you looking for this to happen? Or you just think it's going to be way off in the future? Somebody on Sunday told me they don't believe in a literal rapture. I said, we need to talk. We need to talk. We need to talk. So we're going to talk. But if they had been here tonight, I put a scripture in there just for them. When they therefore were come together, this was after the resurrection, and he was on the Mount of Olives, and he was giving his very last commands. They started to ask him questions. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, referring to when Israel would be restored. But you, ye, shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. And I think Chris taught about this before. Witnesses means what? Martyrs, right? Martyrs. That's what the Greek word means. Martyrs unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken this, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, if you could stand with me, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, not a apparition, not a image, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in exactly like manner. One day, and it's prophesied in the book of Ezekiel, the very spot where he went up, the Bible says his feet are going to touch back down. And there's going to be a great earthquake in Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives is going to split in two. And the rivers that I talked about that are in the book of Eden are going to start flowing again. Because he's coming in like manner. I'm not predicting when Jesus is coming, but I tell you what, I want to be ready. There's really only two things that we should be focused on. Making ourselves ready and making other people know about this truth. If that isn't up in your priority, you have the wrong priorities. That's just the truth. He's not interested so much in my career and whether I collect whatever or I advance. He's interested in what he's given me and what am I doing with it. There's really only two priorities. Looking for his coming and telling other people. Really, that's it. That's it. Really, that's it. Everything else we're worrying about, he said, listen, I got that. You do my business, I'll look about your business. And if we measure ourselves by that standard, I know I fall short. We have to do better, saints, because if we believe this, if we believe this, then we'll act like we believe it. If we don't believe it, then we'll act like we're just drifting through life. But if we believe it, we'll be more desperate than we are. A little rain won't stop us coming to church. A little rain won't stop us coming to church. A little whatever won't stop us giving out a card. A little embarrassment won't stop us witnessing. Because he's coming again in like manner. And he's going to talk to some of us and said, I gave you all of this talent and all you did was sit on it. You knew all of this stuff and you didn't tell me. Imagine there's going to be people that we know pretty good and they're going to say, you went to church? You knew all of this and you let me go into judgment? That should be our priorities. We could be 10 more years, I don't know. Or it could be tomorrow. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Today, the Jews always celebrate it on the fixed date. And because they're not sure anymore, they always keep all of these feasts now for 2 days. So Orthodox Jews will celebrate Feast of Pentecost all the way through to Thursday. But I don't think it will be really like that. It's when the day of Pentecost is fully come. See, God has a perfect timing when he's going to do his thing. He's got a perfect timing in your life for fulfilling your destiny. Sometimes we delay it. Moses probably delayed being a savior of the Jews by killing the man, which he didn't have to do. And many times we delay God's plan because we act precipitously. But if we will repent, just like David and the elders of Israel did, they got on their face and God said, you know, stop. Angel, stop. Then the priest told him, build an altar. Start to pray. And that place became the place of deliverance and of mercy. And of grace. I'm closing, but I just want to encourage you. We are in the last days. I've never seen so many illogical people. And I used to wonder, how could there be such deception? I mean, people are smart. You can't deceive people and tell them lies and make it truth. But we see this, especially in the political world, where people don't want to believe the truth. They just don't want, no matter what you say. And so I see now how it's possible that millions of people could disappear and the world could just go on as if it never happened. You would think that would be a world-stopping event. But the Bible says that they would be sent, what, a strong delusion, because they would not believe the truth, so they're going to believe a lie. So I'm encouraging each and every one of you. as this day of Pentecost passes, or maybe not, that we make our calling and election sure. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you for this word. Lord, as we learn about your plan of salvation, of how you have architected this,